middle of these three psukim. So yesterday we've gone through the tzudos to Radak, and we did not all. We're still in the middle of the Malbim. That's where we are up to. We are in the middle of the Malbim. We did the first pasuk. Okay, pasuk tezvav we've done, and now we've done. Let's begin with the Malbim pasuk tezayin. Okay, tezayin page 395. Page 395, we're discussing the cups of wine that ki kasher shisisem al harkot sheyishlu kol hagoyim tamid v'shasu v'lohu v'hoyu kol hoyu. This pasuk of hoyu kol hoyu, that we had different interpretations so far in the Mefarshim. Who is the subject? Who is the subject of the three words of page 394? Ki kasher shisisem. The top three words on this page. Pasuk tezayin, Oivadia, Perek Aleph tezayin. Just like you have sipped, you have drunk the wine al harkotchi. So is that a reference? Is that a reference to Klal Yisrael? That just as the Jewish people have suffered and have consumed the cup of poison or the cup of agony of pain in witnessing the churban of the harkotchi, so too like the one who has forced us to drink this poisonous, toxic cup, they will be responsible. They, their day of reckoning will come, and they will one day drink this toxic, poisonous cup. Is that the pshat, or is the pshat ki kasher shisisev al harkotchi the goyim? Just like you, the non-Jews rejoiced over the destruction of the Jewish people of the harkotchi, and when you rejoiced, you picked up a cup of wine to celebrate your happiness. The day will come when you will drink, it will be given to you, a cup of toxic wine to drink over your own destruction. Even before we go further, notice that the story of Purim, there's a very interesting pasuk, ki kasher shisisem. Who is the one that really took this pasuk to expand it upon the theme of this pasuk? It was Achashverosh. Achashverosh made a mishtei yayin, a party of wine. And what was the party of wine primarily coming to celebrate? So you'll say it means his success, his malchus was established. Yes, that's true, but that really should have been done 3 years before. Okay, you don't wait for the inauguration for 3 years. He was already 3 years into his malchus.
The inauguration, then they had a campaign to solidify
it. To solidify the inauguration. But the primary simcha, Chazal say, the primary reason for this party was to celebrate the destruction of the Jews. It's been 70 years since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there's no hope in sight that the Jewish people will ever be redeemed. And everyone knew there was a nevuah by Yirmiyah that after 70 years Hashem will visit the Jewish people, Hashem will bring about their salvation. 70 years have passed and nothing is doing, nothing. There's not even any hint that the Jewish people will be redeemed. So what did Achashverosh say to himself? This is an indication that the Nevuah was false, or the Nevuah, the prophecy, has been cancelled, and therefore it's time to celebrate the end of the Jewish people. And how did he choose to celebrate? By making a party, a mishtei yayin, a party of wine. V'hashesiyah chados ein oines. Everyone was given wine according to their age, whatever that's symbolic of, but it was a party, a mishtei of yayin. So here, this is exactly what this pasuk says, ki kasher shisisem al harkotch. If you learn the pasuk, is referring to the umayis olam, they have rejoiced over our destruction, and the way they rejoiced is by drinking wine. Not only do they drink wine, they make a party, a mishtei yayin. There are different types of parties. You can make a party. You can make a party of wine. You can make a party of wine, a party to eat food, and then you can make a party to drink wine. So let's see how the Malam Lom Shad Ki, page 395, Ki Musav al Hamelitzas Yirmiya Kach Es Kois Yein Hachema Hazois Veshkiso Iso Eskol Hagoyim. This is a reference to Yirmiya's, the instruction Hashem has given Yirmiya, that he should take a cup of wine and give the Umay Salam the wine to drink. It's called there a cup of chema. Kois yein hachema hazois. We have the kois hatar ela, a cup of toxic wine, and then we have a cup here called the Kois Yain Kois Yain Hachema. The Omar, it says, Eitz Mapelas Edem Hinei Asher Ein Mishpatam Lishtois HaKois Shoso Yishto. It says concerning Edom, those who do not have the custom to drink, Lishtois HaKois, too bad. You have no choice, you have to drink whether you like it or not. Shoso Yishto, they will drink Viato Huk Nokoi Tinokelo Sino Viato
Who would want to drink to their own
destruction? Viato and you. Okay, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but it means too bad for you. You're going to have to drink this wine and you're going to have to suffer the consequences. This pasuk means ki kasher shisem al har kachi ki shom mishkan hanavi esam es koisachema ken yishtu kol agoyim tamid ki yavu alehem churbanos rabos b'meshach itim v'yamim b'smidus ad she'acharis hayamim yishtu v'lohu v'hoyu k'lohoyu ki batal mimitziusam legamri. Okay, so he's saying that this, his interpretation, we're going back, he's referring to Yirmiyah. The problem here is this, Avagya was way, way, way before Yirmiyah. Okay, way before Yirmiyah, but I guess we're connecting to that time period. Okay, Pasuk Yizayin. Yeah?
I just want to point out, just refreshing my memory, the Midrashim talks about the Arba Kosos. They don't refer to Avadya, because the word kos is not mentioned here, whereas
very good.
It's referred to Yirmiyahu and it's referred to in Tehillim, and those are the proof texts for the Midrashim.
So you say something very important. It doesn't say the word kos. It just says ki kasher shisisem. You have sipped, you have drunk, and you're right. The word kos does not appear here. That's a very good point. Why is the word absent? Why is the kois, the mention of the kois, when it's so prominent in the other psukim that we refer to? It's a very good point. I don't know. Okay, pasuk yitzayin v'har tzion, the third pasuk of our series, v'har tzion, achas shekama umos shehoyu machrivehu haaretz yichlu yichlu, after many nations will cease to exist, after many nations who have destroyed there will be a kibbutz goliyos little by little. Look what he says. Isn't it an amazing thing he says? I think many of us assume, we always get the impression when Mashiach comes, there are going to be planes lined up on the airports and everyone get on the plane, pack up, and go to Eretz Yisrael. That's not what he says. He says, Yiskab susham me'at me'at. Kibbutz Goliyos is a process. It's a very slow process. One plane at a time.
We're in it now.
Yeah, certainly, with beyond question, we're in it right now. Of course we're in it right now. Ma'atmad, Kamosha, Pirashti, like we learned, Beperish, Yishayis, Menvav, Abitem Tochli, Yolada, Voyakodesh, Ve'es Yaakov, Yirshuas, Yerushasam, they will inherit their, they'll take possession of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's pretty much the Malbim, is pretty straightforward. He learns that the cup of Kikash, the only difference that we take out of the Malbim, I think, is Kikasher Shisisem al Harakotshi, is that just like in the past, you have consumed a cup of poison, you will again consume poison in the future. In other words, it seems that the way the Malam is learning Shan the Pasuk is that Edom will suffer in many different periods in history for their crimes. Edom destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That was their major crime. But even before that, we know, we've learned many times, Edom have committed crimes even during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Edom was a witness to the Churban of the Bayis Rishon and did nothing to stop it. That was a crime. Yirmiyah, the way he understands the Malbim, told Edom, in reference to the Bayis Rishon, you're guilty. You've committed horrible crimes. Here, take this cup of poison and drink it. And it's symbolic that you will suffer. When will you suffer? You'll suffer throughout history. And indeed, if you study history, Edom has indeed suffered many defeats. Now along comes Ovadia, and he says, I know what Yirmiyah will say in reference to the Bayis Rishon, but I want to say something more. that later in history, there will be more cups of poison that will be given to Edom to drink, and those cups will be more toxic, even more poisonous. And they will symbolize that they will suffer at the in the end of days tragedy and defeat of a different level that will bring about their complete end. Just like you have consumed a cup of wine of poison given to you by Yirmiyah at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon as a punishment for what you have done, which resulted in your suffering throughout the millennium, Yishtu kol ha-goyim tamid, there will be more cups of wine that will be served to you later in history, which will lead to your total end. That's the gist of what the Malm appears to be learning shot in this pasuk. According to Rashi, the Mitzudos, and Radak, they don't really seem to go that way. They seem to say is that just like you cause the Jewish people to drink a cup of poison, you'll also get your cup of poison. Or just like you rejoiced with Yayin, there'll be Mida, Keneged Mida, your day will come for you when you're going to drink a cup of poison. They don't seem to go and say that these cups of poison that are being consumed now is a continuation of other cups of poison that were given to you at a previous period of time. We take away really three different approaches to understand. Ra'al is poison. Kois HaTarela is a cup of Ra'al is poison. Rav Mechol likes to say not poison, something that's toxic. Poison has known as a connotation that it brings death. It doesn't necessarily mean it means death. It means that it's going to cause them, like the pasuk says, to be stunned. Vilau. They will be stunned, confused. Their minds will not be clear when they suffer this defeat. Okay, let's take a look over here at two different things. Let's first look over on the previous page. There's a Maamar Chazal. On the previous page, back, there is a, I'm not a Maral. There is a Maral. Okay, there's Maral. There are no Maamarim Chazal. That's for the next section. But let's take a look over here at the Maral. I'm back on 393. Kasher asisa ye'osel lach gemulcha yashuv b'roishecha. Call Hayyoshev, we're going off the beaten path now, going into different Chazal. Call Hayyoshev, Betainis, Reish Lokeshamar, Nikri Choset, Shnemar, Goimel Nafshoi, Ish Choset. Mash Amar Shnikri Choset, Shnemar, Goimel Nafshoi, Ish Choset. What does that mean? He quotes a Gemara. The Maral quotes a Gemara Mesech, the Tainis, Taf Yud Aleph, that says a person that's Yoshev, Betainis, you're a Choset. Why? We have a Pasuk. The pasuk says, "Someone who's a goymel nafshoy ish choset." Now, what is the word goymel nafshoy? Person who is rewards. We like to normally translate the word goymel to mean reward. Someone who rewards his neshama is a pious individual. What does fasting have to do with the words goymel nafsha? So the Maral says, Masha Omar Nikra Chosit Shnemer Goyel Nafsha Ish Chosit Perish She Goymel Nafsha Hainu Shema'ane Es Nafsha Miloshoin Gimulcho Yoshuv Biroishecha. The Maral says, if you want to understand the Pshat in this Gemara Masech, the Tainis, you must learn Sefer Oivadia. Because in Sefer Oivadia, the expression Gimulcho Yoshuv Biroishecha is used in reference to punishment. It's used in reference to suffering for the Umay Sa'ilam. Edoim, what you have done to the Jewish people will boomerang and come upon you. And the way the pasuk expresses this idea, Kasher Asiso Ye'oselach Gimulcha, the day of reckoning, your due, Yoshuv Biroshecha, will come right upon your head. In this context, Gimul refers to suffering. We normally use the word gemul in reference to both ways. It means goymel chesed. Hashem bestows kindness. Well, there it's used differently. But it's used basically as reward and punishment. You get what you deserve. Some people deserve reward, and some people deserve punishment. It's used both ways. here the Maharal is saying, well, in this pasuk, it's only being used one way. It's being used to mean you're going to suffer. And if we take this pasuk as an exclusive translation of the word goyim to mean suffer, and we plug it into the Gemara Masechta Tainis, goyim el nafsho is called a chassid, a person who brings upon his neshama suffering. What is the suffering? He holds back from eating. Why does a person do this? A chassid normally is called a person that does what is not required upon of him in the letter of the law. That's what a chassid is. You don't have to do this, but you want to go the extra mile. That so here a person is not obligated to fast. He chooses to fast in order to discipline his neshama, and that is why he gets. He's causing his neshama to suffer. Okay,
how is it affecting Yom Kippur? Is affliction, not suffering.
Inu nafshay seichem. So it's interesting a question that we do not find
suffering,
the
we say affliction.
There are different terms. Okay, there are different terms. V'nisim es nafsha seichem. Here it's called the goyim al nafsha. Yeah, I don't know.
Could be one you do it to others.
Yes.
One you do it to yourself.
Well, here v'nisim, both of them you're doing to yourself. On Yom Kippurim, you don't eat. You're doing it to yourself. And here goyim al, you're doing it to yourself by not eating. So both examples are cases where you're doing it to yourself. Okay, there are different terms. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
she'hakol nehiyeh bidvaro. Here it's in the context of teshuva. That's what he's talking about.
Teshuva?
Yeah.
But so, there also was teshuva. V'nisim es nafsho seichem. Okay,
that's the context he's referring to. What's the value? What's the significance of
okay. There are different... There are different terms. Right, you have to understand what is the difference between this type of fasting and the other type of fasting. Okay, now I want to show you something over here very interesting. Now over here, look at the Mincha Shai. Okay, the Mincha Shai on the next page. Okay, I think we're finished. If I'm not mistaken, are we finished? We're finished. We really finished with all the mafarshim that we're going to learn. But there's one other thing I want to point out, and that is a very interesting mincha shai on the next page, on page 394. Mincha shai is always focused on the girsois, on the nikud and on the girsois. We discussed yesterday. This very very it appears to be bizarre what it says in the pasuk ki kasher shishisem al harkot sheyishu kol hagoyim tamid. What does that mean, tamid? Continuously. Until they're totally finished. So some of the mafarshim struggled. We got a sense that the commentators struggled. What is the pasuk trying to explain, coming to explain with this expression that just like in the past, you rejoiced over the churban of Yerushalayim, the day of reckoning is coming. The day will come when you will be given the cup of poison to drink. And it's not just going to be a little sip. It's going to be Yishtu Chol HaGoyim Tamid. Continuously. What does that mean? Rashi didn't want to say anything. The Targum, what did the Targum say? Tadira, okay, just means continuously. We learned the Radak said Perish Tamid Bli Hefsik. Okay, at least he addressed it. He didn't really explain very much. And the Malm also said, just it means that it's going to mean, they basically said the same thing, the Malm and the Radak, is that you're going to suffer until you're gone. It's not going to be, there's not going to be any recovery. There's not going to be any breaks. It's going to be a complete obliteration. You're going to slide all the way down to the end. Mincha Shai, Kol HaGoyim Tamid, Girsas Bal Meir Nosiv. I don't know who that is. I don't know who this is. Bal Meir Nosiv, I guess, is a person. I don't know. That's they had last names. Very sketchy last names. in years ago, and it says here the gears is not tamid soviv. Isn't that a major change in the girsa? You know, we used the girsa changes having a yud, a vav, okay, an aleph, a hey. We're not used to such a thing. We're not used to having a different girsa with a completely different word. So he says over here, he writes over here, girsa spal meir nasiv is soviv shekein heviu b'shorish samach beizbeiz u'v'shorish shosa v'loy heviu b'shorish temed.
What does that
mean? No, that means, obviously this person, the Baal Meir Nosif, he wrote a dictionary.
It's an encyclopedia.
Right now. And the encyclopedia, whatever this is, he went and he has in the entries of the different words, this pasuk, Kol HaGoyim Saviv, is brought in the entry in his encyclopedia under the word Saviv, in the Shoresh of Samach Beis Beis. Yeah. Uv Shoresh, it's also brought down when he quotes the word Shasa, Shin Safi. So he quotes this pasuk, Kol HaGoyim Saviv. So this is cited in his dictionary as a pasuk. He wrote an encyclopedia or dictionary, and there he has the entries, and there in the two entries he cites this pasuk, and the way he quotes the pasuk is Saviv v'loy heviu b'shoresh temed tamid. There's also an entry in his encyclopedia called Taf Mem Dalet, and which is tamid, and there that will be the likely place where this express should be quoted, but it's not. V'chein kosev radak. Now I don't know what he's talking about. The radak, our radak doesn't say that. Okay, so I don't know what he's referring to. Kika Shershi says over here, Tamid, I don't know what he's referring to. Neravdaki v'perush, v'chein kosev radak, yishtu kol hagoyim saviv. Okay, that's not our girsa. Our girsa is Tamid, but he claims that the radak's girsa was, different. Perush Tamid b'li hefsek. Gam ha-michlal yoifi. That's the name of a safe. That's the Michlal. The Michlal is also in the Radak. The Radak wrote a safe called the Michlal HaYoifi Holach Acharav V'Karv Liyosh Shekei Nimsa Be'ez HaSefer V'Gavari Matzas HaSefer Kadmon Shebetkilo HaYakosav Saviv V'Acharei Chein Tamid. Now, I don't know what that means. Second edition? Does that mean that they had both words in the same entry? It's not really clear what he means over here, but Omdam B'chol Shor Sifarim Shelefonai Kosov, it's written Tamid v'chein yia Tamid ad sheyavo Eliyahu. You see that expression, and that's the way it should be. He's addressing the printers. He's addressing art school. When you write your parish, you listen to me, and when you make your edition, you put the word Tamid, and that's how it's going to be until Eliyahu Navi comes and tells us otherwise. V'chein tirgum yoinasan tidira. Listen, if the targum says tidira, the word tidira is the translation of the word tamid. That's not a perish, but that's the actual word. Look what he writes. This is shocking beyond belief what it says over here. Okay? Shocking. We learn such things. Unbelievable what it says here. After I wrote all this, I had Gili Eliyahu. That's what he says here. The Mincha Shai says, you anyone have Gil Elio? Did anyone have Gil Elio? Mayor. Did they have Gil Elio? Yeah? You don't want to tell us, right? You don't want to tell us. Achar Zman, Shekosafti called Ze Ischaze Li Eliyohu. Elio Hanavi appeared to me. The Oman, he said, Shall Pasuk Yishlu. Kol hagoyim tamid v'shasu v'lo nimsar olav matin bei sofrei l'michtav. He told me that many of the books in this world are making a mistake, and they have a girsa mistake. There's a tos hatfus, and it says the word saviv when it should say the word tamid. Kol hagoyim saviv perusha sofrim matin. They're making a mistake. Es hakoyrim. Those who are reading, they're causing them to make a mistake. Mosores hamoseres soif marmeches. What does he say? I don't know what he means over here. Mosores hamoseres soif marmeches. Okay, so where in the world are you ever going to see something like this? To see a mincha shai And he tells you that Gili Eliyahu, who told him that this is the correct Girsa. Okay, trust me. This is very problematic, you should know. Because that's the Yadus. Yadus is not based upon trusting a person who says he has a supernatural occurrence. That's a Geisha approach to life. All Geisha religions come from this approach where Yashka says, trust me, God came to me and he told me, I'm the chosen one. Jews, they're gone, and we're taking over the Jews. Mohammed, the Rambam calls him a Meshugana. He calls him Rambam a Meshugana. He told the world, trust me. Yadus, there was 3 million people who stood at Har Sinai and witnessed Hashem descend from Shemayim and come to this world and say to Klal Yisrael, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelcha Elohim Achirim Alponai. And then they all died. They couldn't take it, and they told Moshe, "We can't deal with this." And you continue the conversation. In Yadus, you don't trust anyone. Hashem comes to you. Hashem came to the entire Klal Yisrael, and Hashem revealed Himself. This is what they teach in Dama Lahoshiv 101. Okay, the most elementary course in dealing with missionaries, dealing with is Yadus is fundamentally different than any other religion. Every other religion is all based upon one man who tells everyone, trust me, God came to me and he told me all of this nonsense. And somehow, some way, this charismatic individual was able to brainwash a whole world. Yashka and Mohammed. Look what the Churban they did in this world.
And Buddha and the Mormon, same thing.
All the religions are like this. I'm not a bucky in theology. Got it? Yeah.
Is Christianity bad for Christians?
No, the Rambam says it's good. The Rambam says Beferish is a gewaldig thing. Christianity. It gives them. It is monotheism. That's an incredible thing. There's a God. They believe that there's a God. That's an incredible, incredible thing. And if not for the fact that it gives them moral, they have morals to a degree, and it's a wonderful thing. The Rambam says beferish that Krish for goyim, it's a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, they look at their religion, they blame us for killing their god, which is total baloney, and it's all based on halacha biyadua esav soyne Yaakov, okay. But the Rambam, some will argue that it's not a good thing because they do it, they have a religion, it's religious, so that intensifies the hatred for the Jews. That, what would have been if they were not religious? They would probably still hate us anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
no, sure. And maybe the fact that they have no morals, if they were not religious at all, maybe that would even be worse. No one knows. No one knows what would have been if they would not have been Christianity in this world. No one knows. There's no way to tell. The Rambam, though, does say that the fact is that through Christianity, they believe in God. They may believe that Shituf, they have the crazy ideas that there's a human being that came into this world without a mother, and there's this, whatever this thing is all about, but it does bring into this world a realization, an acknowledgement that there is a creator. And this is an advantage to the world. It's a blessing to the world. It's the Rambam. Yeah.
Also, I think they introduced the idea of Mashiach. Of course, it's completely false, but the concept of Mashiach, they introduced.
Okay, so you have to take out the silver lining. You have to learn to take out what benefit you could take. It's true. Okay, we like to children. You always, you know, it's treif chazer treif, stay away, because unfortunately, you know, they're dangerous people. Look what they've done to us in the name of their God. They're extremely dangerous. But yet, a mature thinking person has to be able to look at everything in its parts, and you know, to fully comprehend, you know, what's there. Like you walk in the street, you know, you walk in the street, and you see someone throws out an old computer. Okay, an old computer. So it's garbage. Doesn't work. But someone who is in the business knows that in that computer, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a chip. It might not be an i9. Today, you know, the latest chip now is an i9 chip. Probably cost over $1,000 to buy just the chip itself. You want to go buy an i3? cost you $200-$300. And then there's RAM, may not be a 64 gig of, maybe only 4, 8, 16. There's might be a video card, costs $50 to buy a new video card. You know, there are parts inside, the computer doesn't work, so the average person has no shaykhis to know what's under the hood. You throw it in the garbage. But to a person who needs a spare computer, I don't need to have the fanciest computer. I just need a simple computer, and I have this, and I just need a video card. It costs $50. There it is. It's in the garbage. The spare parts. You know, you have to. Christianity as a whole is garbage. But there are parts that are to the advantage of the world. Okay, are to advantage, and you have to be able to know how to. Mavdil, Chacham, knows that it's not just black and white. Chacham knows.
It's a bench to the world, but not to Yidden.
It's a curse to us. It's a big curse to us. Look what they've done to us. And the question is, what would have been if there would not have been Christianity? Would it have been worse or better? No one knows. No one knows what would have been had there not been a Yashka, how that would have affected Jews. No one can say what would have been. Mitzad Echad, you would say, we would be today, there would never have been the Crusades. What?
The people who don't have religion did not attack Jews. It's only people who have religion.
Yeah, but the people who didn't, they were not descendants of Esav. They were not, Esav hates us no matter what. Because we took away from him what he felt he deserved. So they hate us no matter what. Halacha, biyadua, Esav, soyne Yaakov. It's not dependent.
Asians are not the descendants of Esav.
No, luchari not. Shem, Chom, and the world comes from three different families. Shem, Chom, and Yefes. So seemingly, a Chom and Yefes have nothing to do with us. Most of the problems that we suffer in this world come from our cousins from Shem. We come from Shem. Yishmol is from Shem. Edom is from Shem. We suffer. Now you'll say, well, what about the Golos Paras of Madai? Haman was not from Shem. Haman, the story of Haman was from... What? No, what? You're right, I made a mistake. You're right, Amalek. All right, Esav was Amalek. You're right, Amalek. Amalek writes, but it was the Malchus of Paras. They needed... You're right, it's true. It's Amalek, but it was a synthesis of Amalek, which is really Edom. You're right, you have to really understand that. I never really appreciated that point. Making now is that even though it was the Golos of Paras from Madai, but what do you mean? It's Amalek. Hagogi. So each one of the Dalet Malchiyos has an element of Edom, our cousins. Look, we learn now about Nebuchadnezzar, the Churban Bayis region. Who is that? Bavel. Bavel, the Kasdim, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, are not descendants of Shem. Who are they? I don't know who they're from, but they're not from Shem. But yet we find a lot of complaint against Edom. So Edom is mixed into, there's an element of Edom being mixed into the Churban of Bayis region, which was I don't think, I don't maybe...
They helped or they...
They allowed it to help. Okay, so it's very complicated. It's very complicated, I don't know.
But with respect to Paras and Madai, you know, they were in charge, but... We had good times and we had bad times. The bad times are when the influence of Amalek. Good times are when that threat was eliminated.
But when they're in charge, Edom is in charge, it's a much greater threat because they're our cousins. And they're descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, listen, no one knows who could have been.
Avraham
Yitzchak. Avraham Yitzchak.
The Edom element in Yavah.
Okay, that's right. No one knows what would have been if there was no such thing as a Mohammed and no such thing as a Yashka. Would there have been the Crusades? I mean, obviously, there wouldn't be Crusades, but it might have been worse. Maybe not. I mean, we have an Amun that when we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, Hashem brings upon the Klal Yisrael suffering. And when we're doing the Ritzoyna Shel Makom, then we're protected. So is it really relevant whether there is a Yashka, whether there is not a Yashka? It has a lot to do with us.
It's a vehicle.
But, you know, yes and no. where do you draw the line? You know, yeah, there are certain things which even if you're a tzaddik, there are still dangers in the world. These are very difficult hashkafic inyanim, which no one really has clarity in what would have been, what could have been. It might have been worse. It might have been better. Who knows? We have to deal with the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground are there's something called the Yashka, there's something called the Muhammad. They hate us. They've brought upon us enormous suffering. But the Rambam, I'm not saying this, the Rambam is saying that the Christians have at least to their credit, have a recognition that there is a creator. And that is something which is a very big schus for them and for the world. On every single coin it says, in God we trust. That's not a schus for this country? Yeah?
We have an example of what's happened before the religion, the modern religion comes in. The destruction of the Ten Shlokim.
Yeah.
Before there was no religion, and the religion was worse.
Wait, say it again.
The destruction of first place.
Yeah, the Ashur, by Melech Ashur. Yeah.
So they were not religious.
Not religious? Yeah. I'm not so sure.
But not the mono-religious.
I don't know. What religion, Melech Ashur, what religion did he have? They were pagans. They were pagans. Melech Ashur, Sancheiv, was a pagan. He did believe in religion. He didn't believe in Hashem. But I think it's clear, it says here at the end, he bowed down to a piece of wood from the Tev of Noach. He did, it seems that the Malchus of Ashur were pagans. They bowed down, they believed in things. They didn't believe in Hashem, but the whole world was religious. This concept of not having any religion, I think, really first came into existence.
Rabbi, why does it say Menorah Sahih, also Ashur? Maybe Asher was a tzaddik when he left.
Right. This is a tzaddik. He just says he didn't want to get involved. This is a tzaddik. He just didn't want to get involved. I don't know if he was a tzaddik. Okay, I don't know. Let's leave this. It's not our topic. Let's go further. Let's move along here. So this is something I wanted to get back to over here. Over here, we have this Mincha Shai is really off the charts. It's off the charts in many different ways. Very rarely do you have such a gears of change where you say the word, it's a whole different word. There's not even one letter, it's the same. Saviv, there's not even one letter that's the same. Normally the gear, is it a resh? Is it a dalid? Is it an aleph? Is it a hey? Is there a vav? Is there a no vav? Is there a yud? Not a yud? This is just totally off the charts. Off the charts. To go say the word, kol hagoyim saviv. So he says this is the right. He rejects it. And at first he claims that the Radak says that's the Girsa. Our Radak doesn't say this. And he says that he did see somebody. He says, I'm telling you, the main Girsa is Talmid, no ands, if or buts, because that's what I've discovered through my research. And then he says something which I feel is very, very controversial, where he says, I had Gilui Eliyahu. And Eliyahu Hanavi told me that the correct girsa is Talmid, and all of these books, they're mistaken, and that's the way it is. Now, that's very dangerous, because... Yeah, Eliyahu HaNavi revealed himself to me and told me... Really? Really? Has he come to you? Mincha Shai is not from the time of the Gemara.
But it's not a new concept in Judaism that Eliyahu shows up.
After the Churban Beis HaMikdash,
forget about the history. I mean, the time.
When did the Mincha Shai live? Want to go Google it?
Yeah.
When did the Mincha Shai live? Not that long ago.
Okay, but look.
The Mincha Shai, we don't hear these type of stories. The people come, they say, "Trust me."
Don't we hear stories
by Rebbes?
What? By Rebbes? We do. Yeah, in the Gemara. In the Gemara, after the Chasima Satalmud, there's no such thing as Gili Eliyahu. I mean, you tell me these stories, good for you. It may be a nice story, but it's not lahalach. These stories, you cannot use the story after the Chasima Satalmud, a Gili Eliyahu, to change anything in the world of halach. Eliyahu HaNavi is in Tanakh. He is.
Confirming what we have.
No, he's telling us, he's saying over here, is that I found an old Svarim, That it should be Talmid. The Chain Tigim Yonasan and the Yonasan says Tadira, And then he goes, Achaz Manchika Saftiko Zishaz Lilio. This is not necessary to say this. Saying this thing over here is really.
What's your reason why he says Tumid is the better
use? This type of approach is a very dangerous approach in today's modern world. It's a very dangerous thing, this type of approach. It's shocking. May you know, you find what year he lived?
No, it was first printed in the
1800s. And, but when did he live? When did the Mincha Shaila?
I'm not sure his name. I think his name is Shaila.
In the 1800s, the someone.
Shlaima Yedid.
And to say, listen, the beautiful stories of Gilui Eliyahu and the Holocaust, they're beautiful. Ma'aminim klal Yisrael, we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim.
Other people say about that this person had Gilui Eliyahu, but not to say on yourself.
Why not?
1560.
Okay, so if it's 16th century.
1560.
1560. Yeah. All right, the Chasimus HaTalmud took place approximately in the year 500. Okay? After the Chasimus HaTalmud, there's no such thing as a Gilui Eliyahu in anything other than storybooks. That's how it is. You have a nice storybook, an art school storybook. You want to talk about Gilui Eliyahu, that they say, you live only a few years ago. Very good. I believe it. I really do believe it. But to say that the Gilui Eliyahu after the Chasimus HaTalmud, fine about you, even that doesn't bother me. You want to say about yourself, fine, you say about yourself. But to say that the Gilui Eliyahu should affect a change in halacha to now bring about an establishment of the gears, the correct gears in Tanakh, you know, that is something. No, you don't confirm with Gilui Eliyahu. You don't do that. You confirm with halacha. Halacha is you go Basar Roif. You have many manuscripts. You have manuscripts, so you take all the manuscripts and you count. This is how they did things. You count. If there are 10 manuscripts that say it's like this, and there are 9 that say like this, you go Basar Roif. That's it. The 10 wins over 9, and all the printers now, you have to write it according to the majority. If you don't, we're going to put you in Chayrim. That's halacha. That's the way we were. Acharei Rabim Lahatois in Girsois. Rashi did this. Rashi spent, you know, Rashi, people think that Rashi spent the whole day in Koilo. Rashi spent a good part of his day
in the library
analyzing Girsois. Because there were a lot of problems with the Girsois. To go say that the Girsa is going to be established based upon Gilui Eliyahu, he came to me and trust me? Wow. That is something which is not a popular approach in the modern world. But it's more than that. You're doing something which is a Goyisha thing.
Maybe someone stuck this in him, because his whole history shows that he was more of a
Kabbalist.
Etymologist, or a searcher. He found it in the scholars, and he talks about it. I found it in a safe or whatever. And I don't know where the word
goes. And all of a sudden, I have Gilui Eliyahu. I don't need any sort. Reading over here is something which is, first of all, it's amazing. Amazing, amazing. That a person who lived in the year 1560 says that he had Gilui Eliyahu. And he's telling you what the correct gears is based upon that. And first he goes to the steps. Really, he's a mafalpo. And he tells you, but it's one thing. You know, you'll hear this in a footnote in some encyclopedia that he once told one of his chavim that a Gilui Eliyahu, this is the great gears. But to write this in the parish, his parish, where he comes to establish, and he never does this. This is not his style. It's even suspicious that he even really write, that he really wanted, did he really even write this? Who would write something like this? He wrote this, and we're using this as a raya. This is not a mahalich. It's not a mahalich in Yadus to establish halacha, establish Jewish practice based upon trust me, Eliyahu HaNavi told me, and all the printers should conform. This is a non-Jewish approach which has only led to terrible churban. And really, to read this over here today, it's something you're not going to see often, this type of thing here. And now we go to the next pasuk Yudches, which is a very, very famous pasuk. The whole of Avadya, if you notice, there's so many famous pasuk. We almost finished Avadya, another few days. Pasuk Yudches, v'hoya, veis, what? Yeah, we finished Yudzayin. We went the whole Yudzayin, we went everything. We did everything. We did all three together. We spent the whole day yesterday. These three psukim together. Yudalit, Tezvav, Tezvav, Tevav, Tezayin, Yudal. We did all three psukim. All the mafarshim we did. Mamash, every mafarsh on the page. Kemat. Now we go to Pasuk Yudches. V'chayev es Yaakov Eish. No, that was a pasuk in Chumash. Vayetze Aaron, likras Moshe. Vahoya to go to Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. There was a famous ma'aseh with the girl where they say that if Aaron Kohen did not know where to go after when he was running away, when he was fleeing, should he go to Eretz Yisrael? Go to America? In America, the Gadol Hador was Rav Moshe Feinstein at that time. And it's not really true either. It was not, Rav Moshe wasn't that well known. Rav Henkin was much more the Gadol Hador. And let me tell you the end of the story, then everything will make sense until the end of the story. And they say that Aaron called, made a girl Hagra, and it came out that the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of Shemos, Vayetze Aaron likras Moshe. Aaron went to greet Moshe. Hamidbara, America's the Midbar, and therefore it was a girl agro that Rav Aaron Kohler should go to America and not go to Eretz Yisrael. So it's written in all the storybooks, I've seen the story many, many times. So I have a very good sefer where they actually asked the family to validate the story, and they said, it's a baba my son. Lo hayu devare me'aylam.
Aaron
Kohler, the CEO of Lakewood, said it's a Baba Maisa.
I think these are very bad stories.
Terrible stories. Lo haya devarim me'olam. It's a lie. This story never happened. No such thing. People like to make up these very, very funny stories. Okay, people like to make up. So he's saying there's another girl I grew up with. You want to get plate of haya kodesh? I could be. I'm not coming to deny that Goral Agro is a very holy thing. A Goral Agro, if you want to use the Goral Agro, it's for yourself. Don't impose it upon other people. You believe in it. It works for you. You're a holy person. The Gedolei Yisrael made the Goral Agro. They would fast. They would fast for weeks, for days, weeks. You just don't do. Oh, what should I eat? What should I have for lunch today? Now I turned seven times. Oh, what does it say? It says chamor. We're going to go to the non-kosher restaurant to buy donkey meat. I mean, it's ridiculous. You have to be a very holy, a very exalted level. And even the girl hagra, I think the Messiah, they only use the girl hagra when someone is lost. When a person is lost, child is lost, the person is missing in action. Then it was traditional to make the Goral Agra as a hint where they should search for to identify the soldiers. Identify an amazing story of Ari Levin. He fasted. He did a lot of things before he did the Goral Agra. There were a couple of soldiers who were killed, and their bodies were in a state where they were not able to identify who they were, and they wanted to put up matzevos to identify, and he did a girl hagra, the psukim are just off the charts. Like each pasuk, it says they mamish their name. It says their name. It could not be more explicit who they were. They had the names, and they had, you know, the bodies. Who is who? And based upon that, they put up the matzevos on their kvarim. And I think years later they did DNA when the technology, if I'm not mistaken, when DNA became popular, if I'm not mistaken, they actually did something and it was confirmed that the girl Hagra was on the mark. Everything about, you don't have people like that today. You hear about Ari Levin, and when he did it, he didn't just do it. He fasted. It's not a simple thing. When they had, remember those couple of years ago, those three children that were killed in a terrorist attack, and they were missing, and it was a couple of days when no one knew who they were. So they entered Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says you should do the Goral Hagra. This is what the Goral Hagra is for. The Goral Hagra specifically was designed for this. When a person is missing, when a person is missing, you do the Gaol HaGra to get a hint where to look, where to search. And the reason why I don't think they did was because there was no one wanted to do it. No one was available to do it, because to do it, the people that could do it, that are on a, they said, I'm not on this madrega. I'm not eligible to do it. You have to fast for a couple of days. You have to do tshuva. You don't just stop do Gaol HaGra. And the Gaol HaGra doesn't affect Klal Yisrael. It affects, it's personal. It's a personal matter. This Mincha Shai, Rabbi Yisai, is really off the charts. Let's go to the next pasuk. Hayu Beis Yaakov, Eish, Beis Yosef, Lechava. Over here we have a very, very famous pasuk. Okay, this pasuk is the pasuk that Rashi cites in Chumash, why Yaakov Avinu waited until Yosef was born to leave Lavan to return to his father. What was he waiting for? Yaakov Avinu, he already married his two wives, he had children, it's time to go. You want to work for 6 years, so you go work in Canaan. You have to work for Lavan. Lavan Harami. Lavan was not a good influence. Why don't you go back to Canaan, and you'll find a job there. There's work all over the world. You'll find work. Why do you have to stay by Lavan? The answer is, he's vulnerable. If Yaakov Avinu would leave the home of Lavan, who would he meet on the road? Esav. Lavan, you have to appreciate this. We don't appreciate this. Lavan did one good thing for Klal Yisrael. He protected Yaakov Avinu from Esav. It's an amazing idea, an amazing insight. Lavan was a double-edged sword. Arami Hagod, the Pesach is coming up. Arami Oived Avi. The Arami, Lavan, Arami, he wanted to destroy my father. What do you mean he wanted to? He really wanted to. And we have all, you'll go, take out all the Haggadahs, you'll find all different Mefarshim commentators telling you all the different things he tried to do to destroy Yaakov. So why did Yaakov stay there? What are you doing there? What are you staying over there? The answer is, he only wanted to kill me. If I leave his protection, I will be killed. I will be killed by Esav HaRasha. So the Arami Oived Avi, he wanted to kill. And Machshav Hara, we are Mitztaref L'maisa. But we owe him. We owe Lavan. Because Yaakov could not leave his protection until Yosef was born. Yosef is the antidote to Esav. Yosef, only when Yaakov Avinu is armed with a Yosef HaTzadik, what does it mean on a very simple level? Yosef possessed this incredible ability to be oimed in the nisoyin of Eshes Potiphar. The ma'is of Eshes Potiphar is beyond understanding. It is not possible for a boy 17 years old, or how old was he then? 17, 18 years old, who's all alone, after been abandoned by his brothers, and is overcome with this nisoyon of Eshes Potiphar, to be oimed in this nisoyon, it is impossible. There is no person, they say, if you would recreate this situation, and put a person in that matzav, it's not possible for any living person to be able to withstand the temptation. And he did it. How could he do it? That was Yosef HaTzad. That's what made him unique. And Klal Yisrael and Golus, we have temptation. In the millennium, we have temptation. Wherever you turn, there's temptation. And the only reason why unfortunately, there are many casualties. Let's not kid ourselves. 70% of Jews in America are intermarried. But there's still 30% that are not. And that's a big miracle. And where does that miracle come from? That miracle comes from Yosef HaTzadik. And that's the only reason why we're still around today. Only because of Yosef. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu could not leave the protection of Lavan until he had Yosef HaTzadik. So all those years, to whom does Yaakov Avinu owe credit? Who does he have to give Hakaras HaTov to? To Lavan. Really, to Lavan? Lavan wants to kill me. Arami Oivei Ravi. Life is complicated, Rabbi Yisai. It's very complicated. People want to kill you, but you still owe them something because they didn't kill you. And the alternative of the alternative would have been I would have been killed by someone else. That's really what it all comes down to. And that's what that is what we're learning of. So therefore, how do we give him Makaras HaTov? How do we give a love and a karas atoyv? Well, that's taka true, that's right. You know something that's right? That is correct. That's also a limud, because the whole Klal Yisrael remembers his name. There are many people, wicked people in this world. I mean that their names, but he has some zecher. Well, his contribution Aramaic, Aramis, Lavan Hu Arami, his language is still alive and well. Okay, you'll say that Aramaic is from the Malachim. Okay, there are many different dimensions. There are many different dimensions to where does the Lashon Arami come from? But one thing is for sure, the one who takes credit for it, whether he deserves the credit, is Lavan. And he has elements in him, I don't know all the details, which live on in Klal Yisrael. Okay, we have Targum is written in Aramaic. It is a revelation, is the primary translation. There are three Targumim, Unkelis, Yoinasan, Tam Yusham, there are more Targumim, literally many, many more. There are many more Targumim. It's all in Aramaic, and it all opens up very deep insight into understanding the Torah. And that, who gave us, who is the one that perpetuated Aramaic? Lavan. So Lavan lives on. He lives on to a degree, even though he was extremely wicked. How do we understand that? Life is complicated. He did protect Yaakov Avinu from the harm of Esav Harasha, and the proof is this pasuk. He was unable to leave that shelter until Yosef was born. It's an amazing, amazing insight into life. Yaakov is an Esh. Just because Yaakov is an Esh doesn't mean you can be able to come. You're going to be able to come up. You can be able to come up against Yosef. Ubeis Esav, because he needs Ubeis Yosef leHava. Hava is the flame. It is that. What's the difference between Esh and leHava? Esh is stationary, or Esh doesn't necessarily burn. You need the leHava. We have to go into the Mefarshim and try to decipher the exact precise difference between these two words. They're very, very different words, and Esh and leHava. We just say, we fool ourselves, thinking we know what these two words mean. We just say in Rashi and Chumash, oh, Yaakov is an Esh, but the Esh can't go anywhere. He needs to be a Lahava. What does that mean exactly? Explain yourself. Esh is Esh. If Esav comes near, Yaakov will be burnt. So what is Lahava adding that Esh does not already have? It's a flamethrower. It can travel. What exactly is Lahava? What is the difference? So we have to go through this very carefully. Let's hold it for one moment. Ubeis, Esav Lakash. Esav is stubble straw. The Dolku Vohem, and the fire of Yaakov will burn the Kash, will be ignited against the Kash. The Acholimim will consume them. The Lo Yes Sorid Leves Esav. There will be no survivors. So says Ki Hashem Diber. A Sorid means a survivor. A remnant. And we learned before, by Yaakov, we learned two words. By Yaakov, we learned there's going to be a polit and a sodit. Here, it says there's no sorit. Does that imply that Esav will have platim? Does that imply there'll be platim? Who knows? We have to see what this means. But it says, v'lo yes sorit leves Esav ki Hashem diber. So says Hashem. Let's say, look, just do one pasuk. Pasuk Yichas first in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yichas Mitzvot David says, Eish, Eish on page 395, Eish, Yishifu Kumo Eish, will burn like fire, Beis Yosef, Lehavachu, Kefal, Ilim, Bimilo Shoreh. So according to the Mitzvot David, there is absolutely no difference between these two words, between the word Eish and Lehava, Lekash, Yudayim Lekash, Hanishav Maher, it will be like straw which will be burned quickly. Vidolkom Bohem, Yisrael Yalik Espe Esav. And Yisrael will go and burn Beis Esav. Vyisrefem, Yisrefum, Yutzen Eloi Marahem, Yigmeru Bohem, Hakilian, Velo Yesheris, Lachem, there will be no remnant, Ki Hashem Dibe, Bavadai, Kenia, so shall be. Okay, so the Mitzvah is not giving us much interpretation. In fact, the Mitzvah is making the pasuk too simplistic. He's telling us that there's no difference between Eish and Lahav, it's just the same exact word, which means exactly the same thing. Let's see Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Ches, Ki Hashem Diber, Vehechan Diber, where did Hashem say that Klal Yisrael will burn Esav? V'yerd miYaakov, Yaakov will descend, V'hevid, and will destroy the Sorid Meir, the remnant from the city referring to Esav. Esav will be destroyed from the city. Not really explaining very much. Okay, let's see. Yeah, of course.
But what is the V'hoya of Esav?
It will be. The day will come. V'hoya. The Vav is a Vav Hepach. Vav Ma'apach. Hoya means the past tense. V'hoya changes the past into the future. The day will come when Yaakov will be both an Esh and a Lehova. And this combination will be lethal against Esav that is compared to Kash. When Esh, Lehova combine forces and attack Kash, straw, the straw goes up in smoke and they are consumed entirely. And this will for sure happen. You know why? Because Hashem says it will. Ki Hashem Diber.
The term Vayehi means something, look out, something bad. The term Vehoyah means something good.
Good. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. Every time it says Vayehi, it's no good. When it says V'hoya im Shamaya Tishmu, V'hoya is good news when you will list Hashem's mitzvah. So, Rami, this is going to be good.
I heard something about this from Rabbi Mansur. He told why Yosef is going to be Esh, because he respect his father 22 years, and why Esav Yekash, because he respect his father, but not so long time. Therefore, he came and delete the respect of the Esav to be as a cash and to be a fire to.
Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, let's see here. Okay, we're really out of time. We have to stop over here. We'll stop over here. Okay, take a break.
Today is
my
71st birthday.
Happy birthday to you. To me.